Welcome to another episode of What Matters in North Carolina. Today we've got a little bit of a different kind of segment for you. We are going to be tuning into a conversation between Dr. Bob Lipke and Demi Dowdy, both of the Civitas Institute, about the budget and things specifically in the budget relating to education in the state, as Dr. Bob Lipke is very focused on education issues in the state. So we are going to go ahead and jump right into that conversation with Dr. Bob Lipke and Demi Dowdy. Now we are talking with Demi Dowdy and Dr. Bob Lipke on the show, and they are going to actually kind of take the reins on this segment and have their own little conversation about the state budget and specifically relating to education, right, Demi?
That's right, Matt. So I am here with Dr. Bob Lipke, and he is our education policy analyst here at the Civitas Institute. I run communications here at Civitas, and we're going to just have a quick chat about the budget. So, Bob, the state budget is a grand total of $23 billion, an enormous number. But what's in the budget is not just about that dollar amount. It's not just about the numbers. There are some significant policy issues that also might signal what future budgets will look like, what the legislature may be doing down the road. So talk to us about that.
That's right, Demi. I know whenever newspapers and the media talk about the state budget, all of our eyes just glaze over it because
Sure. It's
numbers, 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 and after a while they all lose meaning. It's true that state budget is primarily about numbers, but it also can include a lot of important policy directional changes, as well as include signals, you know, that how the legislature may act in the future on different issues. So that's really important. And this past budget, you know, was no exception. And if you actually are a wonk like a lot of us here and actually, you know, comb through these, you know, 100-page, 200-page documents on the budget, you can actually find some of those things that are important and significant to all of us. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. Basically, just three issues impacting education and, you know, what relevance it has for all of us today.
Right. So what are some of those issues? So there are a few areas, a few things identified in the state budget that are some signals to what we may see down the road. What are those?
That's right, Demi. We're going to talk about three of those today. The first one we want to talk about is some of the changes that the legislature made to the state lottery.
Right.
Now, people know that every year the legislature makes changes to the state lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, that involves tweaking the percentages of how much money is going to go to what area,
right?
Like pre-K scholarships, school building facilities, you know, things like that.
Right.
But this year, they actually included a number of larger changes with regards to how the educational lottery monies are going to be divided, and those major changes were twofold. Basically, the first was to actually increase the amount of money that is going to, say the category, let me back up. They previously did not have a category of what's called transportation.
Okay.
When you say
school buses?
School buses, you know, paying for school, bus drivers, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this year and next year, this year actually, 2017, 2018, the legislature allotted about $43 million, which is a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
to school districts to help pay for transportation costs. That previously was not in there.
Okay. Interesting.
Also, the legislature also increased the amount of money that went to what are called non-instructional support personnel.
Okay.
Who are those people? We're talking about teachers' assistants, say technology service people, people involved in transportation, school family advocates, things like that. People mm-hmm. not involved directly in the instruction of your children, but people that assist
right.
in that function. Now, why is that important? This year, that the amount of money spent on non-instructional support personnel increased to about $380 million from about $330 million. That's almost 60% of all the money that the state provides schools for, that the state provides in lottery revenue. That's a lot of money. Now, the other categories that the state funds with lottery money are scholarships for UNC pre-K programs.
Mm-hmm.
They also provide student financial aid. And as I said before, money, approximately $100 million for school building, what's called school capital building funds, which okay. is basically money that is distributed to local schools to help defray the costs of
infrastructure,
building new schools, et cetera.
Right.
Now, the other major change to that is that program has been in existence, but what they did now is basically say the state superintendent can distribute monies to local school districts but via a formula where LEA would be one of either two categories. I don't want to get into all the complications
sure,
of it, but it's basically they can get up to either $15 million or $30 million.
$10
million or $30 million based on the need for the school and actually basically the tax base of the LEA. So that's significant. Why is that significant? It not only shows that, first of all, that the majority of the money is not really going into
right.
the classroom, but also it's a recognition that the way we fund new schools in North Carolina is really broken.
Interesting.
And I think this kind of buys the legislature a little bit of time. So that's, you know, that's kind of significant because I think a number of larger changes are coming down the road as far as how North Carolina funds schools.
Interesting. I know that you've talked a lot also about a creation of a commission on education finance reform. So this is yet another education issue. So what is that
yes,
going to look like?
This actually ties a little bit into the topic I just talked about.
Right,
but
right.
this has kind of been on the back burner for almost a decade.
Hmm.
10 years ago, North Carolina had a commission that was on the study that studied, you know, the existing school finance formulas. I think there are about 30 some odd formulas that drive revenue to local districts. And they hired an independent consultant. He filed a report. The actual report was actually pretty well received by people on both sides of the aisle. But what happened then was the recession. And the report got put on a shelf.
That makes sense.
And nothing happened for a decade.
Wow.
Now we're back to the same problem. And actually, 10 years later, one of the major differences is that Republicans and many conservatives, you know, have positions of leadership here. And it's our opportunity to kind of stamp and bring significant changes to education finance. Now,
right.
one of those changes, which has actually been in some of the legislation, is that there is a great sentiment to have funds follow the student.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be hearing a lot about what's called weighted student formulas, which is a way of actually doing that, where funds are provided to children based on needs, you know, whether they have a disability,
uh-huh.
Possibly income, what type of background they come from, educational ability, things like that, where an actual formula will allot funding to individual children based on that. And then the funding will follow the child wherever the child goes. That's a significant change.
Yeah.
Currently, we distribute money based on what are called allotments and 33 different formulas, et cetera. But there seems to be a lot of sentiment that way. The budget included legislation to create a commission on education finance reform that will study this topic.
Okay.
And that should be beginning shortly in the next couple of months. And usually what commissions do is they study the topic and provide the outlines of possible legislation. So that will be significant. Also to be noted, and this is free. We don't charge it all. This is free advice. We also are a free prediction here. We'll note that nothing major will happen next year because right. It is an election year.
That's an excellent point, Bob.
So they'll study it, and any legislation, any significant moves legislatively, and this believe me, it'll be a heavy lift because mm-hmm. we're talking about state appropriations for. Public schools are about $9.5 billion. It's the largest single component of the state budget.
Right.
So there'll be a lot of serious discussion on this, but not likely to happen until probably January of 19.
Yes.
At the
okay.
earliest.
That makes sense. So I noticed that also there will be some full-time staff added for the UNC Board of Governors. Tell us about that.
Well, there may be. That's the okay. key word. There may be. That's actually what the statute says.
Okay.
They may add.
Okay.
If they want.
They just want the option.
Well, that's what is actually in the statute, the actual legislation. They have the prerogative to do so. This is an interesting issue because anybody who looks at institutional governance will realize that one of the things that controls or influences the agenda is the flow of information.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to, you know, govern wisely, you have to have adequate support staff, et cetera. And if you look at the way the Board of Governors is set up, the Board of Governors really doesn't have any.
Interesting.
If there are any questions, et cetera, all the information, all the analysis, all the studies, anything, information requests, goes through the UNC system.
Hmm.
Now, let me say that I often don't argue for adding staff.
Right.
Especially to, you know, permanent bureaucracies.
Yes.
Why this is an exception is because the way that current system is set up, it is not a level playing field.
Okay.
And how do I say this simply without getting into a lot of detail? I said previously that if a board of governors, if a member of the board of governors has questions, they put those questions to the UNC general administration staff,
mm-hmm.
many of which are good people, etc.
Okay.
But the important point here is those staff report to the president of the university, not to the UNC Board of Governors.
Interesting.
Which is an important point.
Right.
Now, regarding loyalty, et cetera. Now, it also means that you might not be getting the most objective information in the most objective analysis on, you know, requests that, you know, are put through.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that's happening, but what we do say is that the current structure leaves a potential for that to happen because there's not institutional balance.
Right.
We believe that that information should, you know, not come from, you know, a source that the individuals are responsible to someone other than, you know, the boss
sure.
of the Board of Governors. So that provision, the actual provision that got put in the budget, said that the UNC system may hire additional staff.
Okay.
And
they might.
Now, I think why that was put in there is because there was some sentiment amongst Board of Governors that some people said, well, we don't believe that we need that. And I think they put that in there not as pretty much as a hammer, but a suggestion if they just
sure. Seems a little noncommittal but we'll
it's
see
non-committal,
what
but it provides the option.
That's
to,
right.
If they want to move forward, and as I said before, I think we'd be in favor of this because it balances
gives some balance.
It balances the playing field involved. You know?
Okay, that's so helpful. Thanks, Bob. So another thing that's mentioned in there is something that we are very excited about at Civitas, something we've advocated for years. What's that?
Yes, and the last thing I wanted to bring up is what are called personal education savings accounts, which anybody who's listened to this program will know that I have harped incessantly on what are called ESAs. And North Carolina's ESA is basically what's called a PESA. Education savings accounts are really the future of school choice.
That's right.
And anyone who's followed the state budget will know that the legislators passed a small ESA program for special needs students, also for other populations, which include dependents of active military personnel,
mm-hmm.
Adopted children, and foster kids. And that program will be ramping up. They'll do a lot of necessary administrative plotting in the next year, but it will not go into effect until fall of 18.
Okay.
We just can't, there's not enough time to do it actually for this fall, but it'll be a year from this fall where the actual people will begin to actually be recipients of the money involved. What are we talking specifics? Eligible students will be able to get funding up to $9,000 if they apply and receive the funding.
That's great.
Means that parents will have access to an account where they can spend up to $9,000 on appropriate educational expenditures for their child to ensure that they're getting the best possible education.
That's great. That's so exciting. And hopefully that continues to expand.
Yes, we believe if we follow what's been going on in other states, it will expand because those programs have proved immensely popular.
That's excellent. Well, Bob, thanks for hitting on some of these things in the budget and identifying some of the issues in there as well as the numbers. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about this in the future.
Thank you, Demi.
Thank you for tuning into this segment of What Matters in North Carolina. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, make sure you're doing that by going and searching What Matters in North Carolina wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along on social media by searching What Matters NC and catch more episodes of this show and other shows on the Freedom Action Network by going to freedomactionnetwork.com. We'll catch you again next time.